Okay, good morning. Masechet Midot Daf Lamed Vav. Okay, the second last daf of the parakel. But Kerry Marvi, we're still busy now discussing how you are. Oi, what happened to you there?
It's raining.
We're discussing the Mizbeach. Okay, actually, just on a few, there was a great shiur last night of the Rav, of some aspects of the Baal Midrash. One thing I wanted to mention was that Shalom Cohen, who's a regular at the shiur, and he's also a Tamani, and he's an English, Hebrew expert. He corrected everybody. The word is not a pishpesh. He says a pishpesh is a flea, is a charik, charak. He says the word is pishpash. So of course all of us laughed till we looked up the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says pishpashim. So the correct word for that gate in the Baal Midrash is not a pishpesh; it's a pishpash. But I'll apologize in advance if I call it a pishpesh. But it's just something nice to know. It's a pishpash, not a pishpesh. Okay. Everyone called it a pishpish. All right. So now, Keri Maravitro Mitayushnei Nakavim. Now, I'm going to go, same as we've done the last few days with Midot. The Mishnah, we've seen already. Gemoz, which you know already. We're going to go through them quite quickly. Okay, so, Keri Maravitro Mitayushnei the southwestern corner, Yushnei Nakavim, Kamin Shnei Chotamin Dakin. There were these two thin gutters, right? You got blown up pictures there. Basically, one was on the west southern corner, one was on the southwestern corner. Okay, so they were like diagonals to each other on the different sides of the corner. שהדמים הניתנים על יסודי מערבי ויסודי רומי יורדים בהם ומתערבים באמה. And then the bloods that dripped down, that came down on the southern and west side of the Mizbeach would go into these gutters. ויוצין לנחל קדרון. And they would go down, according to this Tana, the gutters went down to Mei Tehom, right? To the, what's Mei Tehom in English? The waters underground, how do you call that? Like aquifers, underground water. And from there, they would be taken out of the Mizbeach, out of the Baal Midrash to Nachal Kidron. Now, the next Mishnah seems to be a different opinion. Lemata Beritzpa Boto Kerin, on the floor underneath, on that same corner, on the southeast western corner. Makoma Yasham Amalama, there was an Amalama, the Tavla Shel Shaish, and there was this marble platter. The same idea we saw in the Lishkata Moked. Remember where they had the keys? They're like a floor piece they lifted up. So to over here, the tabat akvar had a ring on it. Shebo yodin, and they'd lift up obviously the marble floor, and they'd lift it up, and they'd go into like a manhole. Okay, shebo yodin lashit umenakinoto, right? And they would go down into these like this manhole and actually clean it out. Look at the parosh harosh there. I'm using the parosh harosh this morning, about 20 lines down. Says there, Lashitinu menakinotan, miyayin shel nesachim shenikrash bahen, from wine that got congealed. Beperek lulav arava, right? Echat l'shivim shana, we learned this already before. Echat l'shivim shana, once every 7 years or so, pirchei kuhuna yordin l'sham u'melakatin misham yayin karush. They'd go in and clean out these gutters. And here the Rosh says like this, V'leit leila hai tana deshitin yordin adat hum. This Tana doesn't hold of the idea that the water goes down into the ground waters, right? Upligi bei Tanai, and there's a machloket Tanai near Masechet Sukkah. Okay, so we see that the two Mishnayot, it's quite interesting, it's not normal that we see two Mishnayot without different names, and they're cholakinim one on the other, right? The two different opinions here with regards to it all together. Okay, then the Mishnah is Bekevesh, there was Bekevesh, there was this ramp, right? And how do we know that it was on the Dromor, on the southern side of the Mizbech, with the Rosh over here? She'ya'alu alav le'mizbech tichtiv el penei ha'mizbech u'makom she'alu alav karui panim u'chtiv yerech ha'mizbech tzafona u'madrich b'tzafon panim b'darom. U'midayerech b'tzafon panim b'darom. It says yerech, you got olel yerech tzafona. So we know the face of the Mizbech, yerech tzafona. So if the yerech is the tzafon, then the panim is the face is the south. So we have Kevish from the south. Okay. And now, 32 Aruchav Sheshesheh, right? It was 32, but then we saw the other day, we saw an opinion that was actually 32 or 33.2. Remember that? There's no second opinion here. But here, this Bishop of the opinion that the Kevish is 32 Amas long and 16 Amas wide. Revuva Hayatalo Bema Aravo. What is this Revuva Hayatalo? Look at the Rosh. Revuva etab maravo shel kevesh perush chalona etab maravo, like a window on the west of it. Shel kevesh, on the west side of the kevesh. Revuva etani kreit sheshama yu notnin psulei chatata of she teubar tzurato. on the western side, on this kevesh, they had like, you know, we've seen the drawings with like the kevesh goes up. There's also like small kvashim that go around, right? You with me? Are there pictures of that anywhere?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Quite amazing. Look here, by the way. Here he's got the 33.2. We saw this the other day. Remember we saw this? Here's actually a diagram. Midura kevesh. Shitat Rambam and Parashat Mishnah 32, Shitat Rashi 32 at the bottom, and 33.2 at the top of the Kevesh. Can anybody see those pictures? Is there a picture anywhere of that Revavim? I don't see that. You got a diagram, Michael? Watch the water, careful of the water. You got a photo then?
That's what you mean, yeah?
Oh, wow, no, look there, look there. One and two, you switch the blood drained out, and two empty hole. That's the Revua, there, look at that. Show that. That's actually very good. It's like a proper little chamber there under the kevesh. Look at it. It's amazing. We haven't got it in our diagrams. A proper chamber, like a little like a proper little room there, like a boydom. In the kevesh. That's what they put in there, like problematic bird corps, etc. Now the stones of the kevesh. The charav neam is bayach, and the stars of this bayach, right? Mi bikat beit karim. They came from beit akerim. We all know where that is, right? Beit akerim in Jerusalem. The chofrin lamata mi betula, and they would dig them down from sand. Chofrin lamata mi betula. The betula, the roshes over here. The chofrin bekar dumot eitz. They use wooden shovels, right? Mina betula karka betula di yaduish lo hayaba barzel. In that they from land it hasn't been worked, where they know that no steel tekelim have come and actually like worked that ground. They bring whole stones. Shelohu nafal and barzel. We saw it the other day. They never even had steel waved above them. Shal barzel posel benegia. You see that barzel, even if it just touches the stone, is pasul. Upegim elachol davar. And any material which will damage, if the stone was damaged, it would be broken. It would be pasul. So barzel doesn't have to even damage it. Just got to touch it. And the steel really pasul the stone. Other materials like wood or anything like that, we have to break the stone for the stone to be pasul. Okay? Right. If one of the stones gets broken, Mishnah says only that stone's broken, only pasul. The kudank, all others are kosher. And look at this interesting one of you. Twice a year, they would like whiten or clean the stones on the mizbeach. Look at the rosh there. Actually put like a bit of a plaster, like a plastering over it. There's a big question, like a limestone plaster. Now the Rosh says, isn't this called adding onto the binyan, on the stones, and we're not allowed to add onto the binyan? He says, no, it's very little enough for such a thin level, layer, that it wasn't called adding on. Right? Echad bePesach, vechad bChag. So on Pesach and Sukkot, they would clean the... they would whiten the mizbeach. V'heichal pam achat bePesach, and the heichal would do it once on Pesach. Rabbi Omer, no. Rabbi says not twice a year. Kol erev Shabbos melabninotan b'mapa b'bnei hadamin. Rabbi says every erev Shabbos they would wipe the mizbeach because of the blood. Look at the rosh there. B'chol erev Shabbos hu melabninoto v'lo besid ele b'mapa medichinoto. They just wipe it down with a cloth, not with limestone or with plaster. Right, lo ayu sadinoto bekapim shel barzel shemiga v'yipsol. So they would be very careful not to use any steel, like what do you call them? Like, you know, the painters have, like, you know, what's it called? Not when you do the trowel. What's it called?
Trowel.
Trowel. Very good. Thank you. Spachtel is in Hebrew, but a trowel. That's the word I'm looking for. Excellent. Right. And what did it say there?
An iron trowel.
Trowel. Oh, it says trowel. Oh, wow. Okay. I never knew that. Trowel. No, spachtel is the word we use in Hebrew. Okay. Barzel niv. Look at this. What was the problem with barzel? The Mishnah gives an amazing explanation here. Shal barzel nivra lekatzer yamav shel adam. You see that? Steel is created, you know, as a sword, as a weapon to shorten people's lives, right? V'hamizbeach nivra laharich yamav shel adam. The mizbeach is there to extend your life. En obadin sheyanif hamekatzer lamarich. Therefore, it doesn't make any sense that you should be able to wave the shortening part of a person's life over the lengthening point. It's a touch of the sutras. It's a complete contradiction one to the other. Okay. The Tabot Hayuritz Velosh Mizbeach. Now there were these rings on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Shisha Stream Shel Arba. Are six rows of four. The Ashumim Dalit Shel Vava. And those are the four rows of six. And there they would actually clamp the animal down and they would shecht it. Now it's worth noticing over here. The Rosh says, right, look at it, he says, now why but Tzfonor Shemitbeach? We learned already in Masechet up until now that Kodshei Kodshim have to be killed. Where's the Shechita? B'Tzafon. Kodshei Kalim where?
Komakom.
So why weren't there hooks all over the Mizbeach, the Beit HaMikdash? Why only in the north? So the Rosh answered that question. He says there, Derov Kodshim Shechitatan B'Tzafon. Velo, it says here, Vero, Derov Kodshim, Shechitatan B'Tzafon. Okay, most of the Kodshim were, most of the Kodshim that appear seems to be Kodshei Kodshim. So most of the Korbanot there were Olot and Chataot, etc. And the Kodshei Kalim, if I understand, it seems to be the minority of the Korbanot. The Todot, etc. Okay. Velo Eta HaTabat, look what he says in the Rosh. Velo Eta HaTabat Agula, it wasn't a complete circle, El Kamin Chatzitabat, it was a half a circle. Veroshu Echad Mechubar Beritzba, the one side was Mechubar connected to the ground. Veyored B'makom Chabura, V'noten Tzavar HaBahem B'Tabat, V'tochev Rosh HaTabat B'Karka. So it basically worked like on some sort of a mechanism where you had a half a circle like this in the ground, you would roll it into the ground, right? Imagine, quite sophisticated. And then you would pull it out. So, and then you'd cover it into the other ground as well. That's how it seems to say, right? It wasn't like on a, what do you call it? On a pivot. Like it didn't bend open like this on a tzir.
There's two sheets.
Are there two
pictures? One of the shows.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, look at this. The first part, like, okay, that's, okay, all right. Okay, so that's amazing. And the Rosh, he says, yeah, is the way that I explained Rashi. The way I explained the Rosh is not the way he's drawing the Rosh. No, he's wrong. This drawing is clearly wrong. The Rosh says, yeah, straight out. V'roshu echad mechuba b'ritzpa v'ole v'yored b'makom ab. B'makom chabura, sorry. I misunderstood it completely. It's on a pivot. Gee whiz. Okay, I understood this completely wrong. But there's no Rashi over here. The Rashi must be in Masechet Yoma. Okay, very good. Okay, so we tended to Kavanti the Da'at Gedolim, but I've got it wrong. Okay. Right, so we're up to Beit HaMitbachayim, this is like the actual, like the butchery place where they did all the detailed work. Also the north, there were these eight marble poles, and on top of them there were slabs of wood, right? We saw this before, and there were these hooks. Remember that they had like hook, we saw the picture, they hooked the animal up by the tail, and they'd flay it and take it apart, etc. They'd hang it up, umafshitin and flay, al shulchanot shel shayish, shebein amuri, between the difference, those things. Okay. Hakior. Now we've got the kior is the what's it called? Basin. Thank you. Hakior haya bein haulam vela mizbeach. It was between the ulam and that was on the western side. Umashuch klape hadarum. And it was put slightly on the southern angle. Bein haulam and mizbeach. Kaf Bet Amma, 22 Amma away. We've seen pictures of this, remember? We saw pictures of this of where it was. If you go in the diagram, it's in that big chart. Do we have it? The Kior, yeah. I think 32 is the Kior, no? 32 Kior, right. So the Kior was there. See that? The Kior was there. So basically, it's not in the middle over there because there was really no space there. But it was down in the south over there between the Mizbeach and the Ula. Okay. עשית הקיור, כן. גם הילדים שלי התלוננו שצריכים לתקן את זה שהמים נוזלים שם כל הזמן.
לא, אין מקום לכהנים בתור ידיים.
נו, אני השם של כך הרבה כהנים, תגיד לי. צריכים עוד חמישה קיורים
שם.
But you're right. Their cure was better than ours. Their cure also had taps coming out. The כהנים could do the washing themselves. Now that there weren't Levim in there washing, the Kohen would go himself with his hand to do all acrobatics. Maybe we're going to stop Levim in our shul and just get Kohanim to do acrobatics on their own.
You're not brave enough to try that.
Okay, but Adam Levisbach Urak Umashok Radam Ben Ulam Levisbach Vishtemish Malot Ayushan, the 12 steps came up to the Ulam. Rom Ma'ala, right? Remember the Rom is the Rom, by the way, I remember yet the word we use in Israel is not Rom, actually call it a riser. That's the word. The word is a riser. The Rom in building terms they call it a riser. Right? Is that Rom? Malachati Ama Vishalcha Ama Ama Ama. Now look at this, interesting. So here we had now a little bit different. Here we've got a chatzi amah up, and then three amas is the width of the step. Okay, it goes like this: amah lama, amah lama, amah lama, and then there's a podest. And three amas, and then amah lama, amah lama, amah lama. Is there a diagram? Gee whiz, I've got to be more up to date with these things. Yes, okay, that's okay, right, they got it right this time. Okay, right, let's look at what it says over here. Ama, 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 verovat gimel. Ama, ama, verovat gimel. I don't think that ama, ama, two is three, I think they're all threes. Vailyona, ama, ama, verovat dar. And the very higher one was four amos, the step, the width of the step. Rabbi Yudah Omer, ha'elyona, ama, ama, verovat chamesh. Rabbi Yudah says there were five. What do they have over here? Yeah, four and five. Okay, so basically you wouldn't have like a long, steep staircase. It would be three steps and then a podest. In three steps, it's easier. It's more, you know, it's easier to walk upstairs. Okay. Pitcho shel ulam govo. We saw this already the other day. Right, that's what the Shita and the Sosha changed this around. Pitcho shel ulam govo arba'im v'rochvo esrim. Okay, it's the bracket to the wrong way around. It was 40 amas high and 20 amas wide. V'chamesh maltaraot. How do you pronounce that word? Maltraot? Maltraot? Maltraot is an interesting thing about it. It seems like there was, for decorative purposes, like things bulging out of the doors. And there's probably pictures of that as well then. Are there pictures of that? Oh, okay, wow, this is quite aggressive. I expected to be a much plainer than that. Okay, well, the top one was 30. Okay, it's so like these like decorative things bulging out of the doors. Shomilo ayu al gabav atachtona or defet lapidach ama. One, the first one stuck at ama mizeh v'ama mizeh, and then another one ama shlemale mimenu or defet aleh ama mizeh v'ama mizeh. Teilona 30 ama. I don't understand. That could be the top one stuck out 30 amas. Okay, whatever. Okay, and v'nidvach shlavanim haya ben kol echad echad. And there was some sort of the rosh over the page. It's already on the next amud. Is the rosh, he says there, v'nidvach, there's a rosh over here, v'nidvach perush shurat avanim haita ben kol echad v'echad. It was like a row of stones between, have you got a proper, is that the diagram? No. Okay. A row of stones in between each of these bulging wooden cedars. Okay, now the Kunzot shel Evin. Now there's a Mesot Hashat that changes from Evin to Erez, which makes more sense because it was wood. The Kunzot shel Erez, are you kvuin mi kotlosh lechal kotlosh ulam? Now we've got a problem. What's the problem? We're now moving from the Heichal into the Kodesh. Right, so we've got a very high ceiling and we've got these walls. And because the ceiling is so high, so the walls are very, very high and there's no supporting beams, the walls are basically susceptible to falling. And when you've got very high walls that aren't supported, they can move and break. So to support the walls, it seems like there were klunsaot. What are klunsaot? Like
poles.
Well, poles, beams. But the beams. Yeah. But the idea of a klunas, it looks like in the ground, a supporting wall. Supporting beams. Support, that's what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Right? They were like supporting beams. It's basically between the walls that supported the walls. Kadesh lo yivat. They wouldn't move out the way. V'shashotchel zahava yukvu'in. V'tikrot ha'ulam. And there were these golden chains that were attached to the ceiling of the ulam. Shevein p'chei kuna olim v'ro'in et ha'atarot. That the Kohanim would climb up. The young Kohanim would climb up these chains to check on the windows upstairs. at the upper windows to see if they need to be cleaned or not. There's a machloket here whether atarot or windows or other decorative stuff. They were all named after different things, whatever the case was. But an interesting concept over here is by climbing up, there was a concern that they'd be over on Me'ilah. Look at the Rosh over the Amud, on the Amud Bet. There's the Rosh here. Hayu kvim b'tikra ulam, u'megi'ot ad samuch l'karka. They're from basically close to the ground all the way up. They'd go up and see these decorative parts on the windows, right? Achalonot asuyot kipot muzhavot v'tzayrot. They were basically like they were decorative, golden, and probably had like stone stained glass windows in them because it's tzayrot, right? V'olot ka'ein atarot, and they go up like a crown. V'rinotan im, look what the Kohanim had to do, im tzichot tikun. And they go up and see they needed to be cleaned or fixed or whatever the case is. They'd use these chains as step ladders, right? V'ein lefarei she'olim letayel v'lirot b'nuyan. B'nuyan. And don't think they just use them to go and travel around and see and enjoy their beauty. The heart now and the come, which later on, the meshal shalin ha'umanin b'tevat v'kedei she'lo yizunu enehem. They would have these three layered walls that the Kohanim wouldn't get any joy from looking into these sort of things. Afagab the lake me'ilah b'kol, even though there's no me'ilah with sound and sight and smell, it's still an issue. So they get benefit from just looking at things, enjoying the beauty of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It'll be over a me'ilah. It'll be not me'ilah, but it'll be an issue. They didn't do it for that. They just went up to clean the place. So it was very practical oriented. And then we saw this as well. The Geffen Shel Zahava Etal Meretal Pitchosh Lechal was this like vine, this golden vine at the entrance to the Echal. Umodle al gabe kluna, so it was hanging from pillars. And komishu mitnadev ala who gave a leaf or a gargir or a shkol or a bunch of other cases of gold. They would mevive tole. When we saw the other day, one of the guzmas in the Gemara was in the 300 kohanim to move this thing away. Remember that? This is it. Am Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok, masaya benimnu alei shlosh mot kohanim lifanota. They did 300 kohanim to come and take this whole thing away. Anyhow, dran lacham isbeach, dran lacham isbeach, dran lacham isbeach. Next perek. Now we come to the actual Heichal itself. Now we're arriving into the Heichal. We're coming up the stairs and we're arriving into the Heichal. This is the Kodesh, where the Shulchan was and the Menorah was and the Mizbeach HaZahav was. We haven't run in the Kodesh HaKodeshim yet. Rabbi Chosh Lechal Govo Eshrim Amav Ruch Voisa with 20 Amas high, 10 Amas wide. The Arba Latot Ayudo, it had four doors. Now there's an interesting machloket over here. Now then I saw the picture because it's on this page right over here. There's an interesting machloket over here how the doors work. It was a very wide. Like, you know, you've got these Arab houses today in Jerusalem. Got like very wide walls. You ever seen them? Like a very, very wide walls. You seen these houses? Got like huge, like 1.5 meter wide walls. It's all full of junk. Anyhow, okay. So this was it. The four doors. Two doors on the inside. This is the wall, right? This is the wall. If you look at your diagrams over here, this is the wall of the front of the Heichal. It was very, very wide. It was like 1.5. It was six amas wide, right? 3 meters wide. Two doors. There are two doors. If you imagine this is the whole wall, there were doors over there and doors over here. It was like an area in the middle that never had doors. You open these doors. Remember, we had the other day in the Mishnah where we said there were two doors, there were two keys, and the one key the kohen stuck his hand into up to his armpit just to open this door. So one of the doors he'd open from the inside and he'd go down like that and open. We'll see that in a second.
Is it called Sha'ar HaGadol?
Is it called Sha'ar HaGadol? Is that the name of the thing? Shkoch. Sha'ar HaGadol, okay. It doesn't say that over here, but Shkoch. There were two to the Hechal and to the Kodesh. Hachitzonot niftachot toch hapetach. So the doors on the outside opened inwards, right, into the doors. The doors actually covered the walls. Look here. Imagine this is the wall, right? And here's the opening. The door went like this and covered the wall. So when you came in, you never saw this wall. Why not? We'll see in a second. This wall wasn't covered in gold. Because they saved money. They thought, why? You're not going to see it anyhow. When the doors are open, the doors cover the walls. So why cover them in gold? Look here. Lechasot of Yoshel Kotel. And the inner doors open this way into the wall like that. Why? Lechasot achar hadatot, to cover behind the doors. Look at the Rosh over here. Shtayim v'chutz etzel mezuzot amechusot asmuchot l'olam. Ki ovi akot la'echal haya shesh amot. The width of the wall, not like I said, it was 6 amos wide. 6 amot, I had 3 meters. Shneimar shtayim dato le'echal hayinu tzad chutz v'lekol eshayinu tzad pim. Okay. Hachirin tochot ocha ba'petach u'mechasot ovyo shel kotel. Right, 5 amos. And there's 1 amor left for the 2 doorposts. And מתוך הבא היו עומדות, אבא חנות יפתחו אביו של קוטל, פנימית פתחו לבחיץ, והיו okay, we don't have to say over here why, but I saw somewhere, in the rush, maybe the Rambam, that said that they opened it because it wasn't covered in gold. קנית לחות בו, כמין אסטרמית, דרבי יהודה פרשו בן the Shar HaGadol. Oh, yeah, Iron. In Mishnah Bet, it calls it Shar HaGadol. But why? Where did I see that Peirush? They never covered it in gold. Help me, somebody. I'm not making it up. What? Kol HaBayit?
It's a note 5.
Where is it? Yeah, the note.
It says note 5, yeah.
Where are you reading, man? In the Mishnah?
Mishnah, better.
But where is it? Shekola, sorry, I haven't got there. Okay, all right. Shkoach, shekola bayi tuach bezahav chutz miachar hadlatot. Okay, that's why the doors had to go to cover the thing, right? Rabbi Yehuda Meir betoch hapetach yomdot. Rabbi Yehuda says no, the doors are a little bit different. He says that they were in the middle of the door frame. Ukemin itztarmita, right? The shita mekubetze changes that to itztaba, like a bit of like a lobby type of thing, I think. Hayuv nikpalot lachorehen. And the doors folded. So if you look over here, you can see over here, this diagram over here, they were both in the middle of the doors and they folded. Right? In other words, according to Rabbi to Tanakama, the main door went like this and this door went like that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, both the doors opened against the wall. They folded and separated and covered the walls completely. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Meir, betoch ha-petach ha-yumdot, uch b'yistabe ha-yub niklot l'achorehen, elu shnei amot o-mechtza, elu shnei amot o-mechtza. Each one was 2.5 amas, so they covered the 5 amas together of the wall. Right.
And it says, according to him, then they must have been all plated in gold.
The corners.
The whole hechal.
Right, really?
Entirely plated in gold.
Is that what he says over there?
Because the doors didn't cover the whole thing.
But they did. They did.
Not according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Look, they did.
No, only the inside. No,
look here, look here. These doors folded like that. And they covered the whole wall.
Yeah, but they didn't cover
they
this.
They didn't cover that. So that must have been covered in gold. Yes. Shkoch. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Betokovia. Okay, right. All right. So that is Rabbi Yehuda. חצי אמה מוזה מכאן וחצי מוזה מכאן שנאמר ושתיים לטות לטות שתיים מוזבות לטות שתיים לטות אחת שתיים לטות אחת This is our way of understanding the pasuk and we're going to look at it now. The next Mishnah ושני פיש פשים, I suppose we have to read it now, right? According to my introduction.
Does it
say, yeah?
Yes.
Pish pashim. Wow, okay, so that's it. You all says pish pashim? Okay, interesting. Okay, so they're probably both right. Okay, whatever. Okay, so Shnei Pish Pashim Ayuro Le Shar HaGadol. Here, Ara pointed out, this is called Shar HaGadol, the great gate. Echad Betzafon Nechabron. There were 2 Pish Pashim, right? 2 little gates on the sides. Shebedarom Lo Nichras Adam Bo. We thought the other day, remember we said that. Shebedarom Lo Nichras Adam Bo Be'olam. V'lam Mefurash Al Yedei Yecheskel. Shnei V'yomer La Hashem Ashar Hazeh Isagur Yeh. Yecheskel says that this gate must stay closed. Lo Yiftach doesn't open. V'ish Lo Yavor, but doesn't open. Ki Hashem Lo Keshav Ba'vor. Hashem goes through that gate. V'yasagur. Right. And then, now talet ha-mafteach, the Kohen would take the mafteach, patach et ha-pishpesh, v'lechad he'd open up the pishpesh and go into like a cubicle in the wall. These walls are very wide. So there were basically rooms and chambers and passages in these walls. Right? So he'd go into one of these, into the side door. Nichnas tatal u'mehatan, and from the tal, there was a secret door going from that chamber into the heichal. Right, and then Rabbi, and then he'd go in there. Right, look at the Rosh. Natale tamafteach. Natale mafteach v'tach l'pishpesh. B'tamid it says in Mefarsh sheshtei mafteachot hayu echad shiyored la'amat hashech. Remember this from, we learned this in Midot, right? The one went all up to his armpit. V'echad shu poteach kevah. One opens easily. So he's reminding us the Rosh. These are those 2 keys we're speaking about now. Right? Umehatalech. Rabbi Yehuda Omer betoch ovyo shel kotla yamahalech. Rabbi Yehuda says he didn't go into a pish pesh into a chamber. He actually walked through the thickness of the walls. Ad shenimtzo Omer ben shtashim atlid come into the middle of the gate. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he came out here. You see that? In the middle of the two doors. Where according to Arakama, he came out in the Heichal. On the inside of the two doors. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he came into the middle of the two doors. Right? He opened the chitzoni one, the outer wall from the inside, and the pnimi one from the outside. He was standing, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was standing outside the inner door and inside the outer door. You with me? Right in the middle of the two doors, and he opened them up. We'll carry on with the last stuff tomorrow.